out because change here. As we get ready. We always enjoy the special music from Sonia King and Past Feast of Tabernacles. Definitely a beautiful, inspiring message that she always had to sing. There is a time for everything, as also that'll tie in with the sermon for today. Well, good afternoon, brethren. I hope everyone is having a great and restful last great day so far. I know we are here in beautiful Branson, West Missouri, and pray you are too, wherever you may be. Well, brethren, today we are observing the seventh and final step in the plan for God's salvation for mankind, the last great day. This is a separate holy day, just like the previous ones we observed in the springtime, and now concluding with today for the fall holy days. We just finished God's appointed time with the Feast of Tabernacles, having taken part in various messages heard throughout the week, with sermons, DVDs, news articles, and our own personal study time of God's Word. We rejoice during God's feast, symbolizing the upcoming millennium that will be upon us soon, with Christ's second coming to this earth. Each sermon and message had a specific purpose in mind. And I want to quickly recap the messages that we just took part during the last 7 days. On the first day, Mr. Fleming talked in his sermon about being an example for the world tomorrow and how our conduct should be rejoiceful to the world. On the second day, we had a DVD titled Christ in Galilee, demonstrating various locations of Christ's events during his ministry in the New Testament. On the third day, I gave a sermon titled The Duty of Watchmen and our responsibility to watch for the signs physically and spiritually. On the fourth day, we watched a DVD from Perry Stone titled America's Social Revolution and the current events from today that have biblical implications with America. On the fifth day, we heard a CD sermon from Mr. Martin Martinez titled Those Who Fear God, highlighting the importance of the choice between two sides: righteousness and wickedness. On the sixth day, Mr. Fleming gave a sermon titled Kingdom of God and the implications of the future of God's government. And on the seventh day, we heard a CD sermon from Mr. Jim Russell titled Loyalty and Faithfulness, giving the importance of our loyalty and faithfulness to God's word and instructions given to us. Every single one of these messages is an important part of our developing Christian character and opens our understanding to the events that will unfold that have to do with God's soon coming kingdom. Each message is a different step and stage for what we are going to be talking about today. And here we are now, observing the last great day. I've titled today's sermon, Judgment and Divine Government. Judgment and divine government. Today we're going to be looking at how two important elements that are associated with the last great day are interconnected, one with the other. The last great day, as I'm sure we are all familiar throughout all of our years in God's church, and by listening, reading, and watching various sermons throughout our entire life, is a period of the great white throne judgment and the establishment of God's divine government with a new Jerusalem and a new earth. This seventh and final step in God's plan for the salvation of mankind is the end game for all that happens in the near future. And we have to make sure we understand the importance, relevance, and application of the last great day, because we are all going to play a part in God's plan, because we are His chosen few from the ways of this world. The sermon will cover three specific areas that serve That's the main message. First, a background on the last great day with implications from both the Old and New Testament. Second, we will look at God's final judgment on mankind and the prophecies from both the Old and New Testament, as well as to set the stage for how God and Christ will enable their plan. Third, we will look at God's divine government, the perfect government in the upcoming future world, and our role we will play in how everything will unfold with what Scripture enables us to understand. Now, we will be going through a lot of Scriptures today, but it is important for us to know the plan of God as it is outlined in His Word, and let God's Word and Christ's words do the talking for us to comprehend. Let's look at the first element for the sermon today, and that is the background of the last great day. One thing that is very important for all of us to understand is that God had established His plan for mankind way before any of us existed. In fact, even before Adam and Eve were even born, God knew the last great day would be needed because of the events that have unfolded since the creation from God and Christ. Every single event that has happened is because it was all part of God's plan. And we have to know God always intended for mankind to need to be brought to judgment and for the establishment of His divine government. Let's begin by turning to the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, verses 36 and 37. Here we will read of the instructions given by God to Moses for the observance of this day. Leviticus chapter 23, verses 36 and 37. And I'll be reading out of the King James Version for today. It says, 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and you shall do no servile work therein. These are the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering, and a meat offering, a sacrifice and drink offerings, everything upon His day. We also read of similar instructions by God to His people of Israel here in the Old Testament in the book of Numbers, chapter 29, verses 35 and 36. Numbers chapter 29, verses 35 and 36. It says, on the eighth day you shall have a solemn assembly. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer a burnt offering, a sacrifice made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord, one bullock, one ram, 7 lambs of the first year without blemish. God appoints these instructions to the people of Israel, and for us to know as well, because God commanded first the observance of the last great day to Moses, and we know we are keeping this holy convocation because it is one of the annual Sabbaths God created. One aspect to take into consideration during the establishment of the last great day is how important the concept of salvation is, especially during difficult times. Remember, brethren, before the final judgment in God's kingdom arrives, things will get worse in this world before they get any better. Having said that, King David had particular words to say when we are about to face strenuous circumstances in our life. As this day symbolizes, and we'll get into that a little bit later in the sermon, turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 118, verses 14 through 21. Psalms, chapter 118, verses 14 through 21. Here we will read of how God manages his righteous people. Psalm 118, beginning in verse 14. It says, "The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation." David alludes to how God makes us experience severe, disciplined moments in our life, but will always give us the strength to overcome it and have us go through the gates of righteousness. Every event that is to be unfolded in the future is going to shape, transform, and dictate our very place with God and our Messiah, Jesus the Christ. God wants us all to be saved, and not one of us not make it into his kingdom. It is how God would want it, but as we will see, there will still be those who defile the plan of God the Father. Let's turn to the book of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Very familiar verses to all of us, I'm sure. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Through 5. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." John writes the symbolic metaphor of Christ as the Word, because Christ was with God since before the creation of mankind. John understood when he wrote this, through his own experience as witnessing our Messiah, that Jesus the Christ will be the light for all mankind. And this light that overpowers darkness is something that I want you to keep in mind as we go along with the sermon today. This is all part of God's plan. And every single detail and aspect of it, whether big or small, is important for us to understand. Let's look at the second area for the sermon today. And that is God's final judgment for mankind through his perfect plan that has already been made. The last great day symbolizes the great white throne judgment, a period of time where every single person who has ever lived on this planet since the creation of mankind by God will stand judgment on the day of the Lord. God's final judgment is a time where accountability for everything every person has done in this physical life will be known. And what is particularly interesting about this day is that it is after the resurrection of everyone who has ever been a part of this world, because all will give account for the actions done in their lives. That includes us, brethren. Remember, God's final judgment is what will allow us to whether or not be in God's kingdom. Let's turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verses 10 through 15. Here, we will read of John's vision for the great white throne judgment. Revelation chapter 20, verses 10 through 15. It says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." John visualizes the great white throne judgment, symbolizing the divine government and judgment on all who have ever lived. This vision of the time to come is what separates this occasion from all others, in that everything we have worked for leads to this. God will execute judgment on all. The plan is already in motion, and absolutely nothing can stop that. God knows the great white throne judgment will occur. It has to. And his plan will continue with it because it is the ultimate test of accountability for all who have ever lived. Let's turn to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. Not all about the final judgment is negative. We have to know what God ultimately wants for all mankind. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. It says, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time." Paul writes to let us know that God wants all people to be saved, to understand the knowledge of the truth, and that all mankind be a witness in due time for all to see. Let's turn back to the book of John, chapter 5. Verses 28 through 29. John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. It says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation." Christ mentions a reference of the first resurrection, those who will be lifted up from the grave to life, and those to condemnation. We definitely want to be a part of the resurrection of life, for that time will come for all. Let's turn to the book of Luke, chapter 9, verses 27 through 28. Let's continue reading Christ's words for all of us, including special exemptions in the near end times. Luke chapter 9, verses 27 and 28. It says, "But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. And it came to pass, about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray." Christ details an important element. Some people will have the blessing of not tasting death until the return of the kingdom of God. Well, with everything going on around the world, there will always be God's people, no matter what year, decade, or century we could be in. We know how current events are shaping, and God is in charge. With all of the chess pieces being moved toward prophetic events, it could be something happening in our time on this earth. It could not. We don't know. Only God knows. Whoever is still standing, even after the Great Tribulation and end time events, will see firsthand what is to come. Let's turn back to the book of John again, chapter 5. This time reading verses 22 through 25. John chapter 5, verses 22 through 25. It says, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Whoever hears and believes the words of Christ and God the Father who sent him will have everlasting life. We will be passed from judgment to life. The grave is not the end of our life, nor for those who did not believe either. All will have the opportunity to repent and to know of the knowledge, truth, and mercy of God the Father and Jesus the Christ." Let's look at what the Apostle Paul had to say regarding our judgment by turning to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. It says, "Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing, rather, to be absent from the body, and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor, that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one, may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Paul's words regarding our future judgment, based on our actions, from the physical versus the spiritual sense of how we live our life, we have to live our life according to our faith. What we don't see, We have to separate our physical traits and lifestyles in order to focus on the spiritual aspect of things and draw closer to God and Christ. We must all give an account. Let's go back to the book of John, chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. Christ offers a solution, especially when it comes to how we should submit spiritually to God and Him. John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. It says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified.'" Christ mentions the reference of letting us all know, whoever believes the words of our Messiah will have the living water flow out of their heart, the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. All who live must go through this process. It is part of God's plan. Hebrews chapter 9. And verse 27. It says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Even though we are separated from our physical bodies, awaiting for the resurrection to come, Christ paid the price of beating death. This is why he was part of developing the plan for judgment, salvation, and the soon coming kingdom of God. Let's look at the third area for the sermon today, God's divine government. God will appoint people who will live according to the government of God, for his government to come when the kingdom returns. All of us are chosen out of so many people that have ever lived to be like his disciples, and to learn how to teach the word of God to all the earth. We were destined to be a part of God's called out, chosen few, because God knew beforehand when we will be called. Our goal is to strive for the divine government, the perfect government of God that will come in the future, because we know there is no good government in place right now. Society as a whole is flawed. Human nature abruptly corrupts everything God wants established in his government. This is why the divine government of God is perfect. And it is because God and Christ are the center of the government. And in the future, it will be when Christ will come to restore the government of God as it was beforehand, before creation. Unfortunately, man has corrupted everything he has put his hands on in this world. However, when the resurrection comes to the billions of people that have ever lived, they will be given an opportunity to know what our Messiah, Jesus the Christ, did for all mankind. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 21 and 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 21 and 22. It says, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Paul presents how mankind is a slave to death. But that is no longer the case because Christ overtook death, making it possible for all who believe in him to live. Let's turn to the book of Revelation, this time chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. Here we will read of the time to come to reign with Christ. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. It says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. The time to reign with Christ during the first resurrection is something we all need to strive for, to be a part of God's government with Christ's reign. Once Satan is bound, we will reign with Christ for 1,000 years. This is the prelude to that great white throne judgment. Let's turn back to 1 Corinthians 15 once again, this time reading verses 24 through 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 24 through 26. It says, "Then comes the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." Christ will return, deliver the kingdom of God, the Father, and put all enemies under him. That great victory over death, the last enemy to go in the coming world. Revelation chapter 21, verses 2 through 5. Here we will read of John's vision of the New Jerusalem. Revelation chapter 21, verses 2 through 5. It says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain? For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. John is given the vision of what is to come, the New Jerusalem. God showed this vision for us to know how the future is set up. How all that is from the former world, the physical world, is passed away. Let's turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 65. And we'll pick up a few verses there. Isaiah, chapter 65. And we'll begin in verses 17 through 19. Isaiah 65, beginning in verse 17, it says, For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be you glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem, a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Dropping down to verses 23 to 25, here in Isaiah 65, verses 23 to 25, it says, They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat stray like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Isaiah gives a prophecy of what happens in the coming millennium. The new heaven and new earth are mentioned, and how all things past will be forgotten and not come upon the heart. God's holy mountain will be of absolute perfection. Nothing will derail it. How amazing and truly a worthy sight this will be. To be able to be a part of God's divine government, there is something to always think about when it comes to our human nature and what needs to happen. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 once more. Verses 54 through 57. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 54 through 57. Very familiar scriptures to all of us, I'm sure. It says, So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In order to be a part of God's kingdom, we have to remember that our corrupt physical bodies cannot enter, but that we must put on incorruption, as Christ did when he brought victory over death. Everything Christ did and will do for this world was prophesied by Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. You don't have to turn there, just put it in your notes. Verses we've all read many, many times before. Isaiah 9, verse 6, it just says, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That was Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. Let's turn to the book of Revelation again. This time, chapter 22. And we'll pick up a few verses there as well. Revelation chapter 22. Beginning in verses 1 through 5. Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. It says, "And he showed me a pure river, water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. When the New Jerusalem is established, we will have sustenance of immortality. We will serve God and Christ, and we will be in the presence of God Almighty. This is what we need to strive for daily." Let's read verse 7 now here in Revelation 22, talking about Christ's words for us. Revelation 22 and verse 7, it says, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Dropping down to verses 12 through 13 here in Revelation 22. Verses 12 through 13, it says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." And finally, dropping down to verses 16 through 20, here in Revelation 22. Revelation 22, verse 16 through 20. It says, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Our Messiah reiterates all that has been said and gives us instructions on how to be, especially with everything that will take place in the future. we have to pay attention to all that is coming in the prophecy. The final judgment and divine government of God are events that are soon coming upon us. As the world turns more and more wicked, and as events soon appear unto us, we have to strive and make sure we look forward to the soon coming kingdom of God. We have to maintain our course and do our part as we live each day. The kingdom of God will come, and when the billions of people that have ever lived are resurrected, it will be truly a fascinating sight. God needs people for His divine government and to serve Him. Let us continue in the righteous path so we can have our place in the soon coming kingdom of God, and that once we are judged, our names will be in the book of life and reign with our Creator and Messiah. Okay. That does conclude my message for today. Let me change my papers again to the music papers. So give me just a second.